All right, from draft to trades to signings to free agency and about a million other things going on in between. It was a wild week, as we predicted here on the last episode of the podcast. The frenzy has more than just begun. We will get into the draft, recap all the trades and everything else going on around the National Hockey League on episode 141 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go.
Avec notre premier choix au repêchage, with our first pick in the 2022 NHL Draft, les Canadiens de Montréal sont fiers de repêcher from the Slovakian national team and TPS Turku, Juraj Slavkovský.
Well, there you have it from the draft last Thursday, the Montreal Canadiens electing to go with the scoring winger Juraj Slavkovský with the first overall selection in the 2022 NHL entry draft. We will get to that and a whole lot more here on the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Kagermard, your host as always, and you can follow along on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, Instagram, and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast. I'm feeling good today. A couple other pieces out about the Vancouver Canucks, how the Brock Besser deal affects JT Miller. I'm working on another one, kind of going over their defensive roles and who they could acquire to really fill in their top six now if JT Miller's gone. A lot of different happenings there on the Hockey Writers. So if you want to give that a follow, just go visit thehockeywriters.com for all the pieces on the Canucks for me. All right, draft in the books, massive trades throughout, major free agents hitting the open market as of tomorrow. We're recording at about noon here on Tuesday, July the 12th. Some players that are re-signed that will not be hitting the market. A couple other trades that we got to get to that have happened. And, well, a whole lot more. I don't really know where to start. Let's start with the draft. And, of course, the Montreal Canadiens pulling a little bit of a surprise, one to me, but it was definitely contention. They draft Slovakian phenom Juraj Slavkovský with the first overall pick in the 2022 draft. He was a consensus top two pick, but a lot of people were thinking Montreal was going to take Kingston Frontenac star Shane Wright. Seattle ends up taking him at fourth in his quote-unquote fall. They now have Matthew Branners, by the way, and Shane Wright up the middle for the next little bit. Arizona. This is, by the way, the second time. We'll get to the picks in just a second. But Arizona chose Logan Cooley with the third pick. I'm not going to go too deep in the draft because after like the first three, four, five, we don't really know. There wasn't really a major. I didn't know a whole lot about the draft in terms of like the prospects, where they should go, who should go where, all that stuff. We knew really about the top three or four guys that were going to go. But Arizona chose Logan Cooley third. Arizona in the past has chosen players like Dylan Strome over Mitch Marner. They choose Logan Cooley, who I'm not doubting is a player. I've seen his stats. I've watched the highlights of him. But Shane Wright, guy that fell. And for Seattle, for drafting Brenner, Matthew Brenner's last year, and you know the year they went through, it might take an extra year or two, but Seattle has really done a good job. Like, they were awful last year, but Seattle now has their top two centers. They've got Yanni Gourde and Eberle. They've got two goaltenders. They have a ton of cap space, and there are a lot of big free agents on the list right now that they could really go out and spend some money on and be a really good team. Sometimes, as a team like Seattle, I know I'm kind of veering off and going Seattle here, but sometimes, because last year in free agency, everyone wanted Seattle to spend money. Go spend money, go spend money, go spend money. They didn't do it. Why? Maybe they didn't like the free agent class. They've already got goalies. They got a couple defenders and a couple forwards. But there are names like Evgeny Malkin, Johnny Gaudreau. There are John Klingbergs, Claude Giroux. There are some big names on the market. The time to flex that money, this is a better season for free agents than I think last year was. So they might be way better depending on who they get or not get. Going back to Arizona, you really hope this doesn't bite them in the you-know-what. You had a guy fall to you who you didn't think would leave the top two, and you still went. Logan Cooley was absolutely Arizona's guy. But when things happen, you need to make a decision. And you need to think about what you haven't been laser focused in on. And I think that Arizona just said, right's there. Yeah, but we're sticking with Cooley because that's who we've had the whole time. We're not changing our minds, anything like that. Sometimes that business decision falls in your lap and you got to go with it. Now for Seattle, they took it, but Arizona, anyways. Back to the Montreal Canadiens. They go Slavkovsky. I've seen a lot of different things because they ended up trading for Kirby Doc, who we're going to get to in a second. But they go out and select a scoring winger over center. Now, here's the thing I will say. Scoring wingers are tough to come by. We've seen the impact that they have in this league. Slavkovsky is listed at 6'3", about 220 pounds. He's a big dude. He's 18 years old. He played in Slovakia. He's played with men. Sometimes we've seen that elevate. But I just want to say this. I said this last time on the podcast. They've got their number two center. Again, we'll get to Doc in a second. But remember, there was a big scoring winger out of Finland who was drafted second overall, who was consensus to be number one. And I always look 3 to 5 years later at how things have developed. Not saying it's the same situation, not saying it's going to turn out to be the same situation. But Patrick Laine right now has been to now two different teams. Outside of his rookie season, has fallen off favor, and Austin Matthews is now the MVP in the league. Shane Wright, he might even play this year in the NHL. But Shane Wright was given exceptional status, and despite all the hate and criticism around Shane Wright, had like 33 goals in Kingston this year, was the youngest captain in the history of the franchise, and had like 93 points in 50-something 60 games as a 17-year-old. After missing 2 years due to COVID, he might not be like an instant McDavid number one, goes in and immediately makes his mark, but you give him another year of development, even with the OHL or AHL, and then bring him up. Seattle's in no rush. I think this is a huge win for Seattle. I do think Montreal ended up getting their guy, and then they make a move to acquire Kirby Doc. So let's get to that point of the deal right now. Kirby Doc, 21 years of age. He had 9 goals, 17 assists in 70 games. A little bit of a dip back from what he did, in his rookie year. Really came out, was going to be a big part of the Team Canada World Junior Hockey Team. The Blackhawks selected him 3rd overall in 2019. So he's only really been within the organization for 3 years now. He's got 59 points in 152 career games. So if you take away the 25 points that he had this past season, he had 34 in his rookie year. Of course, he also had a devastating injury at the time. And for whatever reason, for what the Chicago Blackhawks are doing, Kirby Doc at 21 was not in their plans. As part of the deal, Kirby Doc, who's part of a couple trades by the Canadians, I believe they sent the 13th pick and 2 other selections to acquire his rights. The Habs also sent defenseman Alexander Romanov and the 98th pick to the Islanders in exchange for 13th, and then used 13 and 66 to go to Chicago for him. So that was what happened. Chicago snagged Frank Nazar, who is a draft pick and property of the London Knights organization. So down the middle for Montreal now, Montreal has Nick Suzuki, Kirby Doc. They then on the wings have got Slavkowski, Caulfield, Anderson. They've still got Drouin and Gallagher, you name it. Montreal, there is a sight here for what the Habs are trying to do. And to a similar extent, because we're going to talk about a couple different teams later, this is the direction that they wanted to go in. You know, the Habs liked Doc and a little bit more of the experience. And again, Montreal likes size. Kirby Doc's a little bit of a bigger guy than maybe Shane Wright is. Slavkovsky's 6'3". Josh Anderson's like 6'4". You know, Gallagher and Caulfield are relatively smaller guys, but you know what I mean? Like, they are moving in a different direction, I feel, especially under the play or under the coaching style of Martin St. Louis. But the Kirby Doc deal was big. It's, At that point, it's who would you rather more, Shane Wright or Kirby Doc? Montreal made the decision to go get Kirby Doc, maybe a change of scenery, different role, different line mates. But remember, Kirby Doc played with guys like DeBrincat, played with guys like Patrick Kane, played with guys like Dylan Strome. Now it's whether going to be Kirby Doc plays with the right players in Montreal, whether it's the right fit. Montreal thinks and seemingly expects it to be that way, so we'll see moving forward. The other major trade from this draft, Alex DeBrincat is now a member of the Ottawa Senators. Alex DeBrincat goes to Ottawa in a package of draft picks that included the 7th overall selection and a couple other picks, including a 2022 second rounder and a 2024 third rounder. He has 2 years left on a deal at $6.4 million before hitting unrestricted free agency in 2023. I want to go to the Chicago side first, get this out of the way, because Chicago's an anomaly to me. Chicago is in full rebuild mode. Totally understand that. Yes, we moved on. We're still in the draft, but we're now on to the trade section. I understand that Chicago's in full rebuild. Right? They go on, they get some picks, they trade up and they acquire Peter Mrazek, and they get into the first round with another pick, and they trade their second back down to Toronto so Toronto can get out of that cap. But they trade the players in a rebuild. You normally get rid of some of the older players around the organization, maybe that are making too much, or guys who've just been around for too long and they need to change the scenery. And I'm not saying that I'd get rid of Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane by any means. But normally in a rebuild, if you're stripping down the parts and you're leaving it at the core normally includes a 24-year-old 40-goal scorer and a 21-year-old third overall selection just 3 years ago as part of that core moving forward. Also a Rookie of the Year candidate in Dominik Kubalik, who was not qualified, and Dylan Strome, who was like 25 years of age and fit very well and could be a bigger part of that team. All of those guys are now gone. And instead, you get a couple more draft picks, fine. But you've still got Toews, you've still got Kane, you have Seth Jones forever. And Peter Mrazek's your goalie, I guess. I don't know. I'd have shipped off Kane. 850% of his cap. He's going to get dealt anyways. When you trade a player, when you get back in assets, you are hoping that the players that you select with those picks will be as good, whether it's collectively or individually, than the player you are trading away. And the hope is that one of the 7th overall pick, 13th overall pick, or the 2nd or 3rd rounder that they received as well, hopefully, collectively, or maybe a player hits on one of those picks individually, will be better than a DeBrincat / Kirby Doc. But DeBrincat was, I believe, a former first-round pick. Doc was a 3rd overall pick. And both are under 25, who can be major parts of the team. And the other thing is, too, if the problem with Chicago is they're not going to be able to re-sign him. $21 million comes off the cap for Chicago if they are in a legitimate full rebuild mode. Toews and Kane make $10.5 million each. They are in the final years of those contracts. DeBrincat makes 6.4 this year and next year. I believe it's 2 more years. Why wouldn't you offload? Like, I understand if you want to keep one of the two. If you want to keep Jonathan Toews, he signs a lesser deal. Let's say he signs another 2-year deal, like 6 or 7 million, whatever. And Patrick Kane's the guy you want to move, get assets, build around afterwards. Why wouldn't you keep DeBrincat and Doc? Those players, one, you don't really have to develop because they're already established enough in the league. Maybe Doc a little bit, but DeBrincat is a full go and he's 24. If you really go, like if you really do the quote unquote tank and you really rebuild for the next 3 to 4 years, Alex DeBrincat is still 27 or 28 years of age. He's not 37, 38. He's still in his late 20s, probably in the prime of his career. I don't understand it. I just don't like the reason. I guess they want draft picks this year because they traded their first rounder last year to Columbus to get Seth Jones, which still baffling to this day. I don't know if the trade was baffling. The signing was baffling. He makes like 9.5 or something for the next 8 seasons or something stupid. But that's the deal was made. Ottawa paid the price necessary to get him. The Ottawa side. Ottawa has now has a little bit of a grouping that includes Brady Tkachuk, Drake Batherson, Josh Norris, Tim Stützle, and Alex DeBrincat. On the back end, Thomas Chabot, Jake Sanderson. They got Brunstrom from the Carlson trade. Anton Forsberg is going to be their guy in net. I'm interested because of, and I say this again, I've said before, I love Drake Batherson as a player. Josh Norris came out, 31 goals last year. Tkachuk is Tkachuk, really blossomed this past season. And Chabot is Thomas Chabot. Ottawa's an interesting team, though. Because the reason Chicago traded DeBrincat was the likelihood of them being able to re-sign him to a big money contract in 2 years. So they trade him to, I mean, whoever wanted him, but the team that wanted him was the Ottawa Senators, who have a long history of not paying their star players. Kyle, what are you talking about? Zdeno Chara. Your two last captains, including Erik Karlsson and Mark Stone. Remember when Daniel Alfredsson, his contract ended? He signed in Detroit. It's not like it happened one time. They've given Brady Tkachuk that like beautiful little deal. He makes like $8 million a year. It's great. I think Chabot's got a new deal as well. But soon they're going to have to pay Batherson and Norris. And then DeBrincat soon. The curiosity to me, the whole reasoning Chicago didn't want to sign the player was because they didn't think they could re-sign him. And the team that wanted him is a team notorious for not re-signing players when their contracts come up. It's a very interesting move. I love the move by Ottawa. But in 2 years, if DeBrincat leaves, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Ottawa's not going to re-sign him, but they have a clear history of not paying their star players and then trading them for picks and assets and doing the whole thing all over again. They did it with Erik Karlsson. They did it with Mark Stone. They've done it with Ryan Dzingel. They did it with Matt Duchene. They did it with Zdeno Chara. And towards more the end of his career, but they did it with Daniel Alfredsson, who was their captain. That's all I'm saying on that front. Other deals include the Colorado Avalanche trading for the rights for goaltender Alexander Georgiev. They then announced an extension on Sunday, a 3-year extension at $3.4 million. This was the deal that I think a lot of teams were looking to make. And this is the one that I had been advocating. Alexander Georgiev did not have a great season this past season. Numbers were not up there in terms of what he had done in the past because of the goaltending of Igor Shesterkin. Obviously, Vezina winner, no doubt about it. But there was a time where Alexander Georgiev was a very hot commodity and was going for potentially a first, if maybe a second and third. But he got traded for a 2/3 and a 5th round pick from the Colorado Avalanche. Now, the Avalanche did not want to pay Darcy Kemper the $5+ million. They go out and they get a guy who's had a little bit of experience, kind of in a timeshare, a back and forth. They sign him to a very reasonable $3.4 million. He gets to potentially be the starting goaltender for now the defending Stanley Cup champions. I think it is a fantastic move by them. I've always said I love Alexander Georgiev. He's a guy I wanted a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs to go after, a team maybe even like the Washington Capitals to go after. Teams that were looking for that goalie timeshare, right? And Georgiev just to me screamed that he could be a guy who could be in that timeshare, but also split and maybe even become the incumbent starter in a 1A, 1B type of timeshare. He's a goalie, and some goaltenders are like this, some aren't. Some goaltenders need workload management. I'll give you an example. Frederik Andersen was amazing this year, every time I watched, I would look at a highlight at a Carolina Hurricanes game. Every other night, it was a different goaltender. It was Freddie Anderson. It was Antti Raanta. It was Freddie Anderson. It was Antti Raanta. It was Freddie, Antti Raanta. Freddie, Raanta. And back and forth. And Freddie, towards the end of the season, got hurt, but he played, I think, 53 games or so. It was one of the best seasons of his career. Frederik Andersen's a goaltender who needs that timeshare back and forth. He cannot handle 65 plus games in a season. He never has been. When he did play the most games, when he was in Toronto, he was still good, but he got burned out by the time the playoffs rolled around. Some goaltenders, like Alexander Georgiev, even a Shesterkin, need more playing time. Now, he's never had more playing time, so I'm not 100% guaranteeing that. I'm just saying some goaltenders work better when they're playing often, and they're nonstop going in and out of the net. It's a routine. It's a habit back and forth. When you break the routine of a goaltender, sometimes disaster happens. I think that's what happened to Alexander Georgiev this season. I think he played in the least amount of games he's played in the last three seasons or somewhere along those lines. He played significantly less this year than he did last year, and it totally messed him up. Last year, he played a lot more. It was a regular thing for him. Practice in games, very different thing. You can practice as many times as you want. It will never emulate a game situation specifically as a goaltender. The bounces, the weird shot angles that guys are taking, it's always prime shots in practice. It's always one-timers. It's very predictable. You know the drill going in, so you know exactly where to be. In a game, completely different. I think it's a great move by Colorado. They solved their goaltending. He's the guy. He's going to do a little bit of a timeshare with now Pavel Francouz. I've said it before on the podcast. They love him there, and Colorado solved in net. I think it's great for them. We talked the Mrazek trade. He now goes to the Chicago Blackhawks. Toronto moves 13 spots down. They clear up some cap, which they use a little bit later. Vitek Vanacek going from Washington to the New Jersey Devils. Washington also does not put a tender on goaltender Ilya Samsonov. They will have two brand new goaltenders as it looks from right now. It looks like Darcy Kemper will be the guy in Washington. I like the move there. I think giving up on those goaltenders is a little premature, but I think Washington has now done two straight years with Vanacek and Samsonov, and they're like, this ain't it. They've had goaltending problems. They could not keep the puck out when they played forward in the first round, when they even had opportunities to win. So that's the move that they go with. Backstrom's hurt, so they're trying to figure out what they've got left in Alexander Ovechkin and want to take another run at it. And it looks like Darcy Kemper is going to be the guy. I think that was, for the most part, everything. Oh, yeah, and Ville Husso going from St. Louis to Detroit, signs a three-year deal at $4.75 million. We'll see what happens, because now they also, I believe, have Alex Nedeljkovic on a contract, as well as Ville Husso. Thomas Greiss goes to free agency, I believe, so Detroit is set in net with those two guys as well. The goaltending market's very slim. There's only really Jack Campbell. Jake Ottinger, I believe, got qualified, but until then, we're just kind of waiting to see. But the real big name left on the market is Jack Campbell, who we'll get to as well. And speaking of free agents set to hit the market, this may be one of the biggest crops of free agents that we've seen in a while. I know that the Tavares year was the big name, and it was a long time since a true big name was like that. But I am talking about multiple difference-making top-end, like top-line talent is available right now on the free agent market. I checked my phone a couple minutes ago, nothing has been set, but Johnny Gaudreau is still not signed to the Calgary Flames. And a decision has not been made up until this point. If he hits the open markets, the reports are teams like the Philadelphia Flyers, the New York Islanders, and the New York Rangers will all be in line to pursue him. I think he'll get anywhere from $10 to $12 million. I think $10 million is the absolute minimum. I think he could get anywhere from 10 to 12. If you remember, Artemi Panarin got 11.65 on the open market a few years back. I can see Johnny Gaudreau, who came off a 115-point season, I think the Islanders could throw that money at him and be like, please come play with Matthew Barzal. I can see that happening. Another name, Evgeny Malkin, Pittsburgh Penguins, former superstar over there. He's also going to test the market. So Pittsburgh offered a dollar amount. I think it was a three-year, $18 million deal from what I read from Elliot Friedman from his latest article about players to look out for. I don't think the money was the big issue, because a three-year, $18 million deal I think it's only about $6 million a year. I think 3-year 21 might have been it as well. It was the term. I think the term was the biggest one. And Evgeny Malkin right now is looking for 4 years. And I think by the time Pittsburgh went around offering that, because they offered 6 years to Letang, they just gave Ricard Raquel a 6-year deal as well, or something along the lines of a 5-plus-year contract. And I think Malkin took that poorly, and he's going to test the free agent market. There will be teams vying for him. Teams like Washington, I can see, with Nicholas Backstrom out. There's also a relationship with Alexander Ovechkin. Look at the Rangers again. Look at the Islanders. I could honestly see the Edmonton Oilers making a pitch for him. I really could. Because right now they're in talks of trying to get Evander Kane. I don't think that's going well right now. I believe Evander Kane's going to hit the open market. That's another player who's looking for a contract, maybe in the $7 million range per season. But Evgeny Malkin, man, if term was really the only thing, and Malkin's like, I'll take $6 to $7 million a year, if I'm any general manager in the league, I throw that offer up to him, and I worry about cap later. I understand he missed time last year. I think he only played in 41 games or so, but he put up 45 points. He is a top six bona fide like star who can still play. If he stays healthy, the dude is an automatic point per game lock. And if you put him with the right talent, he could really light things up. He could be a massive difference maker. God, this is going to be an insane one. Andre Palat, I don't believe there's any news or rumors yet on him signing in Tampa Bay. He's looking to hit the open market as well. He's a 2-time cup champion. I believe he just turned 30, but he's a proven playoff performer. He has scored clutch goal after clutch goal being a part of that Tampa Bay roster. He should get a decent deal around that. I want to say the $7 to $8 million range potentially, and maybe a 6 or 7 year deal. And I think teams will give him that too, based on everything that he has done. Palat's a guy I'd love to look at. Andre Palat, if you can get him on a 6 year deal somewhere in the 6 to 6.5 range, I think you're laughing as a team, especially if you want to win in that first 3 year window you've got him under contract. I think there's a lot of names I really like on this list for obvious reasons, but Palat's a guy who's shown it in the playoffs. Side doesn't matter. Comes up clutch, scores big goals, knows where to be, winning culture. You name it, the guy's got it. Other RFAs that were not tendered, guys I already mentioned, Ilya Samsonov, Vitek Vanacek is now going to the New Jersey Devils. Pittsburgh Penguins don't qualify. Danton Heinen is another player. Oscar Lindbaum just got bought out. Dylan Strome and Dominic Kubalik are both not receiving qualifying offers. I think the qualifying offer for Dylan Strome would have been $3.6 million. He's 25, had 48 points in 69 games, and had 22 goals this past season. If you sign him to a multi-year deal around the $3 million range, you got a nearly 50-point player at age 25 who could come in your top nine, putting up 20-plus goals and get you that. Ilya Mikheyev was not tendered by the Leafs. Neither was Andrei Kasha. They will both go to open market. Kasha's looking for $4.7 to $5 million, which the names on this list, I don't know. I mean, we're going to see how everything plays out, but the forward market is just absolutely insane to me. So we'll have to see moving forward what happens. But those are some of the players that are just on the, and Jack Campbell. Now, Jack Campbell's reportedly going to get a 5-year, $5 million AAV contract from the Edmonton Oilers. I think it's funny that there's like a no tampering rule, but we already know like three of these players and where they're going to be going. Just, it's funny to me. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But on to the players now that have been signed by their teams that will not be hitting free agency. So these are the players that also could have been hitting, but just signed their deals, so will not be hitting the unrestricted free agency realm. The Avalanche makes some big news, signing Valeri Nichushkin to an 8-year contract. He will have a cap hit of $6.125 million. You know what's funny? Nichushkin's 27 years old. I had a buddy talk to me. He's like, he's only 24, right? I'm like, no, he's 27. He's been around for a while. He was with Dallas for 4 years, and then he just was with Colorado for the last three before his contract ended. But of course, this year, oh, and by the way, players who are not signed and hitting free agency, Nazem Kadri. Can't believe I forgot him. Same teams who are in on the big names will be in on Nazem Kadri as well. The Philadelphias, the Islanders, teams like that are going to be looking for the Rangers. All going to be looking for a player like that. Possibly Pittsburgh for Kadri with Malkin going. So we'll see how that works moving forward. But yeah, I can't believe I forgot to mention Nazem Kadri on that list. If I forgot a player, sorry. It's just, this is a boatload of news that I got to get to today. So I'm really trying to rip through this this podcast today. So yeah, Nichushkin off the list. 8-year deal, $6.125 million contract. He was fantastic in the playoffs, and I think that's what got him paid. 15 points in 20 games, two game-winning goals, helping Colorado to win the Stanley Cup, obviously. Philip Forsberg staying in Nashville. This was a long one, but the two agreed to terms on an 8-year contract with an AAV of $8.5 million. This is going to be interesting to me. Now, one, it's a contract where Nashville was able to carry the 8th year. So when teams sign contracts for players, if the team owns your rights, they can offer you a max 8-year contract. But if you hit unrestricted free agency, the max teams can offer is 7. It's a little bit more incentive for a player for an extra year contract, an extra year of term, and money. So Forsberg gets 8 years at 8.5. I think on the open market, he gets 9.5 to 10. Here's the interesting part. He had 42 goals and 42 assists in just 69 games this season. They were career highs for both of them. The only other player to get more points was Matt Duchene, but he needed 9 more games to get 1 more goal and 1 more assist from. But still, Forsberg's 28. The 8-year deal will bring him in to 36. He spent his entire 10-year professional career in Nashville. Washington drafted him 11th overall in 2012 and then infamously traded him for Martin Irat and Michael Lotta in 2013. Yoikes on that one, but good for Philip Forsberg. I know he wanted to stay there. I know Nashville wanted to keep him. Nashville keeps their goal scorer, which they always need, and Forsberg gets a nice, happy, chunky deal for probably the remainder of his career, at least through the prime years of his career, but congratulations to him. That's another name off the market. And then the LA Kings signing Adrian Kempe to a 4-year contract with an AAV of $5.5 million. He actually led the Kings in goals. $5.5 million and 35 goals, and was second on the team in points with 54 through 78 games. He's coming off a 3-year deal with a $2 million cap hit. This is a fantastic signing, in my opinion. Kempe, who was a real impact player for the Kings in that first round against Edmonton, he scored game-winning goals in Game 6, and I believe Game 5 put the Kings up 3-2. But a 35-goal scorer, who you have now locked down for the next 4 years at $5.5 million. He's 25. They've basically bought out his 20s. They get the prime of his career. He's a draft pick. He's developed as a part of this team. 29th overall in 2014. So what a deal by them. Congratulations going on out. And this is just the calm before the storm. Really gets going tomorrow at noon. A lot of big names on the board. A lot of big names off the board as well. We might even see more. Another name that was off the board that was supposed to be Marc-Andre Fleury, that 2-year deal, $3.5 million per to stay in Minnesota. Cam Talbot not happy, so we'll see moving forward, but that's another name that was going to be on there, but is now off. This was the news that broke last night, and has been the talk ever since, but I wanted to wait because I wanted to get to everything else first and not dominate the headlines with this one. This is the story of two teams who really were each other's last options. And you could tell on the trade. So the Ottawa Senators traded goaltender Matt Murray along with a 3rd-round selection and a 7th-round selection to the Toronto Maple Leafs for, quote, future considerations. Murray's got 2 more years left with a cap hit of 6.25. Ottawa's going to retain 25% of the deal. So for Toronto, he will cost $4.69 million against the books. On top of that, the Leafs get a Sens 3rd-round pick in 2023 and a 7th-rounder in 2024. What do I mean by both teams who are their last options? During the draft, there was a trade potentially and reportedly in place between the Buffalo Sabres and the Toronto Maple Leafs. The deal was Buffalo gets Matt Murray. I don't know if there was salary retention, but it also included the 7th overall pick. This is rumors. We have no idea if this is true or not. Matt Murray, who had a no-trade clause, said no. The draft ended, and the only other team that was really involved in the sweepstakes for Matt Murray was Toronto. Edmonton was, but it seems like Edmonton has a deal in place with Jack Campbell. So both these teams, who are really their last options in the same division, come up with a deal. Now for Ottawa, it's a big win. They get out of the goaltender who has just not performed for them through the first two seasons of a four-year deal, which was $25 million, which was signed in 2020. They only have to eat 25% of the deal, which I think is 1.6 or 1.5. $6 million, whatever the cap hit is, but they get out of about $4.69 million worth of cap for him. They also do not give up a roster player or a prospect, let alone a high-end prospect, to do it. I think it's a big win. Again, Ottawa, Pierre Dorion has done a very nice job over his last few days acquiring the players and getting out from under deals that were signed. And have really set themselves up. They might even go get Mackenzie Weegar or Claude Giroux in free agency. Who knows? Claude Giroux is another guy, by the way, who's available for free agency. I didn't even mention him, but he's not going to be returning to Florida. He's a potential guy that could be going back to Ottawa as well. For Toronto, when you hear what Buffalo was willing to get, was going to be getting, and what Ottawa was willing to depart with, it's underwhelming that one, only 25% of the salary was retained. And two, you didn't get anything better than a third round pick in the process. But like I said, this was a tale of two teams who really were each other's last options. I bet Ottawa didn't want to retain any salary. I have a feeling that the deal in place with Buffalo had Ottawa retaining no salary. I truly believe that. For seventh overall, I really do believe that. If you're giving away the seventh overall pick, I really doubt that Ottawa was going to be retaining any salary on Matt Murray. So Ottawa budges a little bit, retains 25%. Toronto budges a little bit. They don't ask for any prospects, roster players, and they only really get a third and a seventh round pick. The other problem with Toronto is they didn't have a starting goalie. Jack Campbell is probably going to free agency because talks between them and Toronto are not going well, and you just traded away Peter Mrazek. Are there other names available? Yes, but they're all already likely gone to other teams. Campbell to Edmonton, Kemper to the Washington Capitals. Ilya Samsonov was just not tendered, so that name just came up, but then again, he hasn't had a spectacular NHL career and is just 25. Matt Murray is a back-to-back Stanley Cup champion as part of the Pittsburgh Penguins, has played in 51 playoff games and has a career 921 save percentage in the playoffs and a 218 goals against average in those games. But he's been hurt. He hasn't played well for the last couple of years, so I can understand the skepticism. I will say this. As much as you wanted to get more out of the deal from Toronto, you get a goaltender who has been a proven starter in the past, has playoff experience, there's familiarity with knowing who the goaltender is because he's worked with one of their goalie development coaches. And on top of that, he has known Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keith. There's familiarity there. So that's part of it. I also think that the medical staff in Toronto might be a little bit better than in Ottawa, considering the injury history with Erik Karlsson and moving him out and... You know what I mean? Maybe it's a better situation. Also, Matt Murray has really had a dip the last two seasons, really. Even the third season when he was splitting time in Pittsburgh, when Pittsburgh, I'm pretty sure, got eliminated either in the first round or in the playoffs. When he's had a good team in front of him, he's been a pretty good goalie. Health's the biggest concern. But this is a move that I think is a defining one for general manager Kyle Dubas. I think if this works out and Murray gets back to any sort of form where he gets, if he finds a way to start 50 games for Toronto this season and is respectable and puts up between a 905 and 910 save percentage, I think you got to look at it as Toronto came out looking okay here. But if he's hurt and he doesn't perform well and you don't have another guy to go to, that might be it. I think Ottawa wins the trade, but Toronto in the long run could come out as saying, you know what? We got what we wanted and it worked out great for us. That's what I mean for going, saying two teams were desperate and were basically they're each other's last options. The other thing around it and why Murray had such an awful tenure there, outside of the injuries for the last couple seasons, But apparently on top of it, he had a non-COVID illness related to him. He also had his own teammates run into him. And at times, Murray felt the Senators were making him a scapegoat in their early season struggles. I think when you immediately just shift all your blame on your goaltender and you are not a very good team to begin with, it's not great. I think that deal was a recipe for disaster because Ottawa had no business making a signing for a two-time Stanley Cup winning goaltender based on the seasons that they were going to have the next 2 years. Like, that deal I never saw. And again, I have come on the show before and I have even said I did not like the Matt Murray deal. I think that Matt Murray needed a better team in front of him in order to be a successful goaltender. I think that's he also was great in Pittsburgh. But I also think that Pittsburgh was also great because they won back-to-back Stanley Cups. He also split time with Marc-Andre Fleury. Maybe he goes to a better team, lifts him up a little bit, gets familiar with some former coaches, some former goaltending coaches. A little bit better of a team, just a little bit. They were only the fourth best team in the NHL last year. I think Ottawa comes out as the winner, but if it works out for Toronto, I think both sides can come away and be like, listen, we got what we wanted. You got what you wanted? Great. Awesome. Fine. Thank you. And both teams can walk away. There's also reports that Toronto will be also looking for another cheaper goaltender. Look out for Eric Comrie. That's the guy I'm going to say. I'm seeing reports that goaltender Ilya Samsonov could be in the looks for maybe a $3 to $3.5 million deal. I think that's too expensive for Toronto. But I think Eric Comrie, who's 26 years of age or 27 years of age, who's got about 30 to 35 professional games, was a former second-round pick by the Winnipeg Jets. You know why he's played so few games? Because the Jets have Connor Hellebuyck. They also had Andre Pavelec before. It's the same scenario that Jack Campbell had when he was in Dallas. And Dallas had Kari Lehtinen. They got traded to the Kings. And the Kings had Jonathan Quick. And they came to Toronto. And oh my God, he's actually a decent goaltender. I wonder if Eric Comrie could be a guy that comes in on like a one. If Toronto goes in and offers Eric Comrie a two-year, $2 million deal with one, the deal is like $1 million per year AAV. And he comes in and you can give him like 30. You can give him like 30 to 35 starts. And he gives you decent. He's had some pretty good numbers. This year, he had great numbers. He had over a 9-10 save percentage. I think a sub-3 goals against average, too, as a backup. And if he can kind of tandem. But if, God forbid, something happens with Matt Murray, you could maybe be like, all right, this is your shot, kid. Let's see what you got. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I would love Ilya Samsonov for Toronto, but he's probably going to go to a team that's going to view him more as a starting option in like a 1A, 1B tandem. But we'll wait and see what happens moving forward. Other news to get to. We've kind of gone over everything, really. The last thing I was really going to talk about was the Wild and their goaltending situation. So Marc-Andre Fleury signed the two-year deal on Thursday to remain with the team. Cam Talbot, not thrilled about it. But Bill Guerin came on and just said, Cam Talbot's representatives have met with me. We've talked about it. But basically, he's under contract. We own his rights. And we can basically do what we want with them. So Bill Guerin really doesn't mess around. But interesting to see if Cam Talbot is a guy that maybe gets dealt to a team who's looking for a goaltender as well. I think he's got 1 year left on his deal or 2 years left on his deal at a reasonable cap hit. He could be a guy if teams are looking for another goaltender and the Wild A shed some cap. But two, you know, maybe they go sign another guy. They get something back in return for Talbot. So nevertheless, this has been a wild last period, and it's only going to get wilder moving forward. And that does it for today's episode of the podcast. If I was kind of all over the place today, I apologize, but just what a day going on and what a day it's going to be. Wednesday, free agent frenzy begins 12 o'clock. I can't wait. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the frenzy. Enjoy the summer because news is really going to die down from the NHL world, I think, after the next week or so. We'll come back. We'll dictate everything that happened in the free agent frenzy and get you set for the summer. But until then, enjoy. That's a wrap.